Well, praise the Lord. It's so great to be in His house today. When we come to faith, we come under the banner of a new economy, the economy of God. An economic system, the structure or conditions of economic life, the arrangement or mode of operation, a system, especially of interaction and exchange. An economy has policies, systems, procedures, rules, guidelines, programs, obligations, and so on. And so, too, an economy has opportunities, benefits, and advantages. These are necessary. And concerning God's economy, these are necessary. And adherence to these methods, that is, loyalty, devotion, faithfulness, observance, compliance, brings about the blessing of God and the furthering of His kingdom. The true economy of God is not a free-for-all. The true economy of God is structured, specific, planned, designed, controlled, regulated, and well thought out. The economy of God, simply put, it works. And the truth is this, that every believer is subject to God's economy. And every believer should operate and function and walk and work and live accordingly. If we want to be blessed under this new economy, we need to commit. And we need to fulfill the commands and demands of this economy. For this is holy, and this is right. We are talking about the way the Lord provides for His kingdom. The way He advances His kingdom, the way He provides for His people. The avenues of blessing and provision. And the Lord honors his economy. He honors the systems and the structure and the conditions and the arrangement and the interaction and exchange. You say, perfect, good news. I'm a part of a new economy, a greater economy, a higher economy. No longer subject to the world's economy. Well, not so fast. The Lord has determined that for now we remain subject to certain aspects of the economy of the world. This is necessary that His great design play out, that societies function, that cities be kept up and even advance. And we know how quickly this city would crater if there was no form and structure of economy. Matthew 22, verses 17 to 22. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Reading from the Gospel of Mark, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius that I may see it. So So they brought it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. These are the words of Jesus. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, yes. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then the children are free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. You know, a would be nice way to pay the tax man, that's for sure. You know. But here, Jesus, the children are free. I trust you can receive this word today. I believe if you receive it, it will bless your life. It will bless your present. It will bless your future. The children are free. What a line. And what good news. That is freeborn in a civil sense, one who is not a slave, of one who ceases to be a slave, freed. Not how it feels. Remember, people of God, we run spirit, soul, body. Spirit above mind, will, and emotion. Spirit above flesh. What we're talking about today is a different manner of thinking, a different manner of existence, a different outlook, a higher way, a holy way. The text, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Strangers, belonging to another, foreign, strange, not of one's own family, alien. Can we see it? And are we living it? Taxes, whatever it be, a crazy economy, part of the world's economy and part of being a part of it. Fair and seemingly unfair. But look at Jesus' perspective on things and on life and on living in this world and fulfilling our necessary role, remaining part of the quote-unquote natural economy. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And now this, as we've read, Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Lest we offend. Wow. The Amplified. So that we do not offend them, go to the sea and throw in a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take it and give it to them. to pay the temple tax for you and me. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, then the family is exempt, Jesus told him. Yet we don't want to give offense to these people. So go down to the lake and throw in your hook. Take the first fish that bites, open its mouth, and you'll find a coin. Take that and give it to them for both of us. The Message paraphrase, so we don't upset them needlessly, go down to the lake, cast a hook, and pull in the first fish that bites. Open its mouth and you'll find a coin. Take it and give it. Give it to the tax man. It will be enough for both of us. Now I understand that the 2 drachma tax went for the upkeep of the temple. Yes, the temple tax, but my, how this can apply to life and the pressures of the world economy and so on. Are we consumed? Are we anxious? Are we troubled and unsettled? Are we bound even by a spirit of complaint? Are we concerned, disturbed, distressed by the natural tax man? Jesus would speak to us today. The children are free. Listen, it doesn't mean we don't pay. Just look at how he wants us to live. This, our outlook. This, our spirit. This, our perspective. The viewpoint of the children. The position of God's economic family. To Caesar, the things that are Caesar's. And to God, the things that are God's. And you've noticed this temple tax. And so here we are. Concerning the temple. There's no 2 drachma tax in effect today, and there aren't temple tax collectors. What is taking place in this New Testament economy, God's economy, is the surrender and presentation, the very rendering to God what is God's. We aren't forced to pay tax to enter the temple. Call it church. We aren't forced to pay a tax to sit in the temple. We aren't forced to pay a tax to come in and pray and worship. We aren't forced to pay a tax to have our children and youth part of the programming. We aren't forced to pay a tax to be welcomed and to be part of the congregation. Not forced. Yet are we not to render to God the things that are His? As we move into this, I must say this, that these truths are presented today because it's important. We all know how God's economy works. This needs to be taught and known, and then each individual must choose what to do with the truth. Concerning what we are about to encounter, God is worthy and most deserving, and God wants to bless us. Tithes and offerings. This is not the 2 drachma tax that went for the upkeep of the temple. This is God's way of funding His kingdom and blessing His people and blessing people. It's the rendering of what is right, of what is fitting. That the message of the gospel go forth. That people be saved and discipled. That the world receive the ministry of the gospel. That cities receive and know the ministry of the gospel. And know the glory of His kingdom and house in the earth. That His house be glorious. A thing of beauty and honor and renown a holy statement in the earth. That sons and daughters grow in the knowledge of the Lord, our sons and daughters, that the true poor be cared for, that widows and orphans be cared for, and we could go on. You know, imagine if everyone tithed. Imagine if every believer, every household tithed. What provision there would be. What provision there would be in the storehouse. What ministry and blessing there would be. You say, well, do we need to tithe? Is this optional? The things that are God's. To come to a knowledge of the things that are God's, the things we are to render to God, we need to know the scripture mandate. What would become of our city without the supply of the people, the residents, the citizens, and what of this province and of this nation? Now, concerning the Lord, ultimately, he is not limited by people. He's above it all, owns it all. And you know, I've thought about it. Isn't everything on loan from him? Every mineral and so on? Didn't he say the silver is mine and the gold is mine? He is not limited by people. And yet the reality is he has set economy in place that his kingdom have supply. People of his kingdom, residents, citizens, sons and daughters, I want to say this to the young people in the house today, get into the pattern of paying tithes and offerings when you're young, and you won't struggle with it later. Malachi 3, beginning of verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Yeah, we know the old saying that the last things to get saved are the tongue and the wallet. You know, the Bible uses strong words. The Lord uses strong words. You say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. The ESV reads, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Tithe. We render it to the Lord. People of God, it's only right. It's only fitting. It's necessary, and the Lord says, try me now in this. Perhaps we take a look at what we are giving, and in faith and according to spiritual truth and sight, we see his image on it. You know, I don't know about you, but I am fully aware that the provision I have is from the Lord. my Father has taken care of me. And I don't know about you, but I want His image on the provision. The text is so clear. It's so pointed that those that do not tithe, and here even offerings of generosity are included, are under a curse. They are robbing the Lord. You see, these we render, lay them at the apostles' feet. No directive spirit, just surrendered manner. The text is so clear and so pointed that those that do pay tithes and give offerings are under an open heaven. The windows of heaven from which blessing pours out. You know, if every member tithed and gave offerings, just imagine how wide the windows would open. And what marvelous promises there are for those that are flowing in right manner as willing and grateful members of God's economy. Listen to the words again. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. You know, people of God, we cannot be those that pick pieces of the Bible. Don't want Malachi 3? Only want what some consider New Testament promises? Well, deal. If that's our heart, then why don't we just let go of all the Old Testament promises? Even the promise of Father Abraham. Let's get rid of Exodus 15:26. I am the Lord that healeth thee. None of the Psalms. Get rid of Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. All old covenant, right? Tragic outlook and crippling. A heart towards God, a heart for His economy, our contribution, our ministry of finances, rendering to the Lord what is the Lord's, our joy to give, for God loves a cheerful giver. You say, man, it doesn't sound like freedom. The children think it is. We aren't strangers. We are sons and daughters. Sons and daughters of the King, and our King Father provides us with the very means we render to Him. And He says to His sons and daughters, try me now in this. This is our Father's house. This is our Father's kingdom. This is our Father's business. You know, I'll gladly invest in my Father's kingdom, for I know as I do, I will be blessed as a son. And there is a great inheritance in store for sons and daughters of the Most High. And the inheritance is paid out even now as we live and give ourselves to kingdom economics. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Try me now in this. Billy Graham said, we have always found in our home that God's blessing upon the 9/10 when we tithe helps it go farther than 10/10 without His blessing. Yeah, it might not make sense to your natural mind. Come up. Come up. I share these words. The Lord has promised that He will open the windows of heaven when we are obedient. However, if we like luxuries or even necessities more than we like obedience, we will miss the blessings which He would like to give us, The tithing principle is a solution for poverty. Feel the weight? And this, when we give, we may think that we are reducing our resources, but in reality, God has a unique way of multiplying our gifts. As we sow seeds of generosity, we open ourselves up to experiencing God's abundance and provision in unexpected ways. Trust that God will bless and multiply the impact of your tithes. Tithes and offerings. John Piper said, giving in a regular, disciplined, generous way up to and beyond the tithe is simply good sense in view of the promises of God. And Billy Graham said these words, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Golden words. Mark 12:17, Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Perhaps we feel that what we have to give, what we have to offer is of little value, of little worth. It just seems so small and insignificant. Well, take heart. Luke 21:1-4, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. What a spirit. Mark 12, beginning at verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Does our tithe seem insignificant? Listen, if we are being faithful concerning the tithe, the Lord is well pleased. 10%. The first fruits of whatever the 100 be. Our offerings seem insignificant. No offering is insignificant when rendered to the Lord from a pure heart. The Lord will bless us and he will touch what we give. Try me now in this. This is one of the great ways to get life in line and in order, to receive the exchange, the blessing of the Lord upon life. There's a very serious portion of Scripture in the Old Testament. Haggai chapter 1. We pick it up at verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, and on the grain and on the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all who labor of your hands, on all the labor of your hands, and Zerubbabel, and Joshua the high priest. And Joshua with all the remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now I understand the tithes and offerings are not mentioned in the text, but what we can see is this. We see how serious the Lord is about his house and our concern for it. Tithes, 10% of our income goes to the Lord. The first 10%, the first fruits. Be diligent and you'll never run out on God. Okay, enough of the Old Testament text. Hebrews 7, 1-10. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated, king of righteousness, and then so king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Yes. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils, plunder. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You know, this is the believer's flow as a member of God's economy. Tithes, offerings, and also alms for the poor according to the generosity of the person and the family. Their response concerning vision and need, compassion and heart. And every generation has its time. Listen to James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. We can't all go and visit them, but finances can go. Provision for need, Proverbs 19:17, he that pitieth the poor lendeth to the Lord. And that which he hath given, he will pay him again. I just want to stop and pause and say this morning. Thank you to all those that are faithful tithers. Thank you to all those of a generous spirit who so generously give offerings and alms. Thank you to the sacrificial givers in this house. Thank you. The Lord loves you, and your contribution is blessing, and it is advancing his kingdom in the earth. The Lord loves you, every cheerful giver. Well, we press on. The children are free. You know, the Lord wants us free. The Lord wants us to live in this way, this outlook and perspective, this demeanor and attitude. This includes freedom from serving mammon. And so we're going to read Matthew 6. I know we're coming to the end of our time here this morning. We pick it up at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, that is money and riches. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, the Lord knows what we need. The Lord is our provider, Jehovah Jireh. Can we trust him? Will we trust him? Are we trusting him? He welcomes us. Concerning the tithe, he says, try and test me. So true. Remember this, you can't serve God and money, but you can serve God with money. Are we involved in kingdom economics? Or are we holding out, not following the patterns, and still expecting God to pour out his blessing? That regardless, he should open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer for our sakes? A.W. Tozer, as base a thing as money often is, yet it can be transmuted into everlasting treasure. Any temporal possession can be turned into everlasting wealth. Whatever is given to Christ is immediately touched with immortality. Let's have the worship team return today. God's economy. A few more thoughts. People of God, the Lord honors industry. Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. You say, preacher, that was under the curse. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. God honors industry. The Voice Bible, anyone who will not work shouldn't get to eat. Listen, of course, I know there are legitimate cases. God knows. The Bible has much to say about industry, work, and ethic, and much to say about those who labor not. The children are free. You say, how am I free? I'm serving an earthly master at my occupation. Let your mind be renewed today. Colossians 3, 22 to 24, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Ecclesiastes 2, 24, nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should rejoice, should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. We're pressing on here today. The Lord honors those who fear him, that flow in right manner, and in adherence to economy has its place here. I'd encourage you to read Psalm 128, read Psalm 112. We don't have time here this morning. The Lord honors righteousness. Read Psalm 37. Yet I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging bread. The Lord honors obedience. No time to carry on. The final is the Lord honors honor. 1 Samuel 2:30, those who honor me I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You say it's real hard to give right now, unfavorable economy. Well, I trust you can receive these scriptures. I'm going to close with here today. 2 Chronicles 12:12. Even after Shishak's invasion, the economy of Judah remained strong. Isaiah 29:23. For when they see the surging birth rate and the expanding economy, then they will fear and rejoice in my name. They will praise the Holy One of Israel and stand in awe of him. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The children are free. Some are going to walk out of here, and they're just going to say, I can't wait till next Sunday morning or till Sunday night. Good idea to come to the evening sacrifice. But you know, the reason we present this today, the reason I present this today, I don't normally preach on these topics. I don't know if I've ever really preached on tithes and offerings. This is one of God's ways of blessing his people. And so it would be foolish for me to simply say, you know what? It's totally up to you. I want to show you the mandate of Scripture, because as you come in line with it, the windows of heaven are going to open. God's going to bless you. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. This is a good pattern to get in our life. I know how it is. You know, I grew up in church. You're told to tithe. You get money given to you, and a son, you're going to tithe. But it's got to be a personal decision, a personal choice, you know. And you start to encounter Scripture. You start to read the promises of God, and you say, how can I withhold from God? He's blessed me. He's given me the power to create wealth. He's blessed my family. It's only right that I render to God the things that are God's. I truly believe this is going to impact life in a glorious way for many here today. And I speak over every person that this concerns today. May God continue to give power to every person and every family flowing in economic order, power to create wealth. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. God, we love you. Lord, you are so worthy of it all. Lord, we thank you for the blessing. Lord, I pray that the heart of every person in this house today would be, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lord, this is our time. This is our time under the sun. I pray, God, that we would get caught up with the furthering of your kingdom in the earth. We know that you're the answer. Lord, we see how you provide for your kingdom and provide for people and how your blessing flows. We honor you today, Lord.